The last couple of weeks, we've been working through a couple of these common words that we often hear and use during the Advent season. We've looked at the idea of hope. We've looked at the idea of peace. And this morning, we're going to talk about joy. About joy. Joy in maybe times of discouragement or frustration or hardship. Joy that overcomes those things in our lives. Joy that can still exist in spite of those things in our lives. So this morning we're going to just be exploring this third Sunday of Advent, this word, this single word called joy. And as we've done in the last 2 weeks now, we're going to look at a couple people that are part of the Christmas story that I think do a good job of showing us how to have joy, how to live with joy in spite of what might be taking place in their lives. This morning, we're going to be looking at Elizabeth and Mary. If you want to turn in your Bibles, we're going to be going into Luke chapter 1. We'll get there in a couple minutes. Luke chapter 1. I think in the biblical Christmas story, there is lots and lots of joy that we can see there, especially in the early story. But it's also important that we note that this joy isn't separate. It is not separate from pain and disappointment. In fact, much of the joy is born out of long disappointment and grief. We're going to see and explore this idea this morning with Elizabeth and Mary. So Luke's Christmas story, it begins a little bit earlier than we're going to pick up. And then it begins where we're going to pick up today. We're picking up where Mary and Joseph and Elizabeth are all a part of this Christmas story. And we're going to look at that and hopefully learn from that this morning. So Luke chapter 1, we're picking up at verse 5. In verse 5, it says this. In the time of Herod, king of Judah, there was a priest named Zechariah, who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. His wife, Elizabeth, was also a descendant of Aaron. Both of them were righteous in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commands and decrees blamelessly. But they were childless because Elizabeth was not able to conceive, and they were both very old. So we've got Herod, the Roman king, keeping the Jews under harsh Roman control. These are difficult times that they're walking through, that they're in. And here we meet Zechariah and Elizabeth, both of priestly lineage. They're described as righteous and blameless and faithful in the passage. And this is especially important in light of what Luke tells us next. Zechariah and Elizabeth are old, but have never been able to have children, it says. And that changes suddenly, and that changes miraculously, when the archangel Gabriel shows up and tells Zechariah that his wife is going to have this son, a powerful prophetic son who will prepare the way for the coming Messiah. As you know, most of us, many of us, Zechariah is so overwhelmed by what he has been told, by what he has just heard, that he can hardly believe this news. And when he questions the news, the angel says, okay, here's your sign. I'll give you a sign. You won't be able to speak until the child's born. And the prophet is left writing, signing, I guess, to everybody to explain what has taken place. It seems Elizabeth was quicker to believe the news. Maybe it's because she saw what happened to her husband. And when she becomes pregnant, she says in Luke 1:25, the Lord has done this for me. In these days, he has shown his favor and taken away my disgrace among the people. And that word disgrace, that's an interesting word that's used there, right? In the previous verse, from verse 25, it tells us that Elizabeth went into seclusion for the first 5 months of her pregnancy. Maybe this has something to do with Elizabeth's disgrace that she mentioned, that she felt. For her, the inability to have children would have been a lifetime source of pain and sorrow and shame for her. It was a big deal in that culture. Honestly, in the culture, Elizabeth's self-worth probably sunk as the years passed and the hope dimmed of ever having children. At some point, everyone around her would have declared Elizabeth barren and branded her with this lifelong stigma. Maybe that's why she stayed in seclusion for 5 months, keeping to herself, to let her hope blossom into joy personally, or to ensure that this pregnancy was indeed going to last. Maybe that's why she secluded herself. Maybe she was simply savoring these days of gestation on her own terms. We just don't know exactly why she went into seclusion. So now I want us to shift gears. We've talked about Elizabeth. We've talked about some of the pain that she's experienced because of the culture that she had, this reality that she had to live with it with as being barren up until this point. So I want to shift gears and go to Galilee. When Elizabeth is 6 months pregnant, Gabriel makes another earthly appearance. And this time it's to Mary. And he's delivering the most miraculous pregnancy announcement of all time. Mary receives the news gracefully and willingly, but at some point early on, Mary must have known that her challenges, her disgrace, were just about to begin. The scorn, the shame that she and her family, her fiancé, would have faced would be tremendous when it became obvious that she was pregnant and unmarried. How do you make people believe the baby in your womb is God's son? Even Joseph couldn't believe it at first. And in Matthew's narrative tells us that Joseph planned to break off their engagement in what would have been a divorce in our culture. Mary's journey would not be an easy journey. Mary must have heard about her relative Elizabeth's miraculous pregnancy. And then in Luke chapter 1, verse 39, jumping down just a little bit from where we are, it says, Mary hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea. If everyone will understand, if anybody will understand, it has to be Elizabeth. It is probably what she was thinking. And you know what? You know what we discover in our passages? She was absolutely right. This is where the joy erupts in the story of Elizabeth and Mary. Against the past backdrop of discouragement, disgrace, and grace, or grief and shame that these ladies faced, or were facing, or will face, the joys come bursting through to these two mothers-to-be. So pick up with me in Luke 1, verse 41. And it says there, Luke tells us, when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child that you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of the Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaps for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill His promise to her. I'm going to guess that that was a huge relief moment for Mary in her journey. She didn't have to explain herself this one time. She didn't have to try to convince people of what God had done. She didn't have to worry anymore about being understood. All she had to do was say hello, and Elizabeth simply knew. Even her developing baby knew, and it says, leapt for joy within her. This was just the affirmation and encouragement that Mary needed. As I look at this passage, I see people that felt discouraged, that felt disgraced. They felt grief and shame for a period of time. That may be where some are today. God created us to feel. And there's nothing wrong with that. Also in this passage, we see that the pain turns to joy for some moments. The joy that we all can experience. And that's what we're going to really focus the rest of our time on this morning, is that joy and how we can experience it. So I want us to talk about this out of the passages that we've just looked at, really. The first thing I want us to look at is the fact that it's okay to be joyful. It's okay to be joyful. It's okay to want to be happy and joyful, and it's okay to enjoy those emotions. There's a great joy in the Christmas season, and it's good to embrace that joy and to celebrate that joy. It can be hard to find the right balance maybe in our lives to savor and experience the joy when we are in the midst of hardship, perhaps, like Mary and Elizabeth were. To those of you who find yourselves driven by obligations and busyness and maybe guilt of this season as you're trying to meet everybody's expectations, it's okay to stop and to say no and pause and embrace a part of the season that brings you personal joy. To those of you that find Christmas to be painful, and I know that there are some of you that it is a hard time of the year for a whole bunch of reasons. For those of you that find Christmas to be painful, difficult season. To those of you who are hurting or grieving personally or feeling discouraged by the last year we've been going through together. For those of you who are happy and want to celebrate in this season, to all of us, it's okay to feel and to embrace joy. God sees us no matter where we are on the emotional spectrum of joy today. My point here is that our longing for joy, it's a natural desire that God has placed within us as a reflection of our own joyful nature. Sometimes we simply need to give ourselves permission to experience joy, even in the difficulties and the tragedies that we face or are facing today or tomorrow or in the future. I've had many conversations with people over the last 6, 7, 8 months that have had some hard things to work through. They've been impacted by the pandemic in different ways. And I've had a couple of them say to me, you know what, I've made the decision I've made the decision in my life that I am going to still experience happiness or joy as a part of my life, even though there's all this other stuff going on that is really difficult for me to work through. And they said I had to make it a real personal decision that despite what I was going through, I was still going to see the good that is happening in our lives. I was going to be joyful about that good. Right in the middle of the hurricane, we find that moment of peace at the very center, that calm, right? We talked about this last week. The eye of the storm. In the middle of whatever we might be going through, we can find those moments of joy. God is still good. God is still doing stuff, no matter what it is that you're facing today. It's certainly what we saw in the story of Elizabeth and Mary. Right? They were facing a lot. They were facing a lot of stuff from people that had formed opinions about them. They were beaten down as a result of that, or being beaten down. And in the midst of that storm, they get together. And they're able to have this joyful moment to celebrate. I think sometimes we almost need to give ourselves permission in the middle of the hurt or the difficulties or the pain that we might be facing to still experience God's joy. So first, it's okay to be joyful. Second, joy is our strength, is what Scripture tells us. Joy is our strength. There's a great example of this principle in the story of Nehemiah, in the Old Testament book of Nehemiah. Many of you would remember this Old Testament leader who got permission from the king to return out of exile to Babylon and rebuild Jerusalem, starting with its walls, right? The process was more than just a return to the physical city. It was a spiritual reawakening for the people as well. In chapter 8 of the book of Nehemiah, he brings all the people together. And they bring out the law of Moses and they read it. And Nehemiah is calling the people to remember and return to their relationships with God. As he does this, the people, it says, are weeping. Maybe there are some tears of joy in the group from some of the people who remember God's words from the past. I'm going to guess that most of them were weeping from sadness as they realized their guilt and that came from drifting away from God. So here's the beauty in the midst of the scene here. In Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10, Scripture tells us, Nehemiah said, Go and enjoy choice food and sweet drinks, and send some to those who have nothing prepared. This day is holy to our Lord. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is our strength. Celebrate and enjoy it, Nehemiah says. Because this is the time for happiness that God has brought us back and is restoring our city and is restoring our hearts and is restoring our walks with Him. And because our source of strength is the very joy of the Lord, it's what fuels us and sustains us. Our true source of joy and fulfillment comes from Christ. Christmas is a season of joy because the Messiah has brought joy into the world and provided us with the way to ultimately fulfill that joy in our lives. Peter describes it like this in 1 Peter chapter 1. Though you have not seen Him, you love Him. And even though you do not see Him now, you believe in Him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. An inexpressible and glorious joy sounds like some pretty deep stuff. The kind of joy that finds its source even deeper than our pains, than our sorrow, than our problems, that can feel like they bury us at times. It's a deep well that we can draw from no matter what we might be facing. I'm not suggesting that this is a don't worry, be happy, put on a plastic smile and fake it kind of joy. Wherever you find yourself today, let me just encourage you that the joy of the Lord can be felt no matter what we are facing. And that leads us really to our final point, and that is number three, we can choose joy. We touched on this a little bit earlier. There are a lot of uses of the word rejoice in the Bible. There's not a word that we really use very often in our common day English language today. We don't use that word very often. It's unusual. Rejoice is the verb form of the word joy, right? It's the action of feeling and expressing joy and delight. It begins with this prefix, re, R-E, re. This prefix means once more, or again, or return to. So to rejoice is to return to joy. It's a choice and an action that we can take to return to joy, to rejoice. I'd like to add that for us, it's a return to our source of joy. If you know Jesus Christ, it's a return to Jesus and our focus on Him. This is the only way that we can find true delight and satisfaction. And I believe that the process is the same for all of us, whether we are feeling the happiness and joy of this season, or if you are not feeling it this season right now. Whether we are buried in discouragement, or everything because of everything that's going on around us. None of us can create an upending supply of feel-good happiness all the time. Doesn't matter how optimistic you are, how positive your natural disposition is. Doesn't matter. Sooner or later, we all have one of those days, one of those weeks, one of those years. And in reality, I think we probably have them more often than we admit. And that's where the re prefix comes in. That's where we must return regularly. We must return daily, constantly to Jesus, our source of joy. Rejoicing is our process of refueling our tank, restoring our strength, and renewing our spirits. It's reconnecting with our Savior. And it's in this process that the Apostle James' words make sense. When he encouraged us in James chapter 1, he said, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, Because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Honestly, sometimes that's the last thing that we want to hear when we're hurting. Joy can feel so far away when we're grieving, when we're depressed, or afraid. As our pain and problems loom, it can just seem so distant. But let me encourage you this morning. Let me encourage you that James isn't necessarily saying to be happy about your trials, about your problems. He's saying we can still find joy in them when we see the bigger picture beyond those trials and problems. The bigger picture that God is working for our good in every situation. That bigger picture starts at the source. It starts at Jesus. So as we look at rediscovering Christmas this year by embracing joy, no matter what we're going through, let's remember each day has a source for joy. That's Jesus. Let's seek our joy, not in the seasonal trappings and the traditions that are around us and that we all enjoy and have a part of our lives in the next couple weeks, but in returning constantly to the source of joy and returning constantly to Jesus. Let's choose to continue the process of rejoicing despite the pain and the challenges that you might be facing today. Let's heed the good news of the angels that will bring great joy to all of us. A Savior has been born, the Messiah, the Lord, and He will carry us through and complete His work in us no matter what. That is such an incredible promise that we've been given, and it's such an incredible promise that we celebrate at the Christmas season. Let's end our time together in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this day. I thank You, Lord God, that in the midst of anything that we ever face, You are there, You are walking with us, and that You are our source for joy. That in the most difficult, darkest times of our lives, we can still experience those moments of joy that You bring into them. Maybe it's a kind word from somebody. Maybe it's a fun, unexpected experience that takes place for 5 minutes one day, but it just brings joy in that moment. However You orchestrate that, God, help us to open our eyes to those moments. Help us to see those moments and to experience those moments and to welcome those moments into our lives. Father God, we thank You for sending Your Son. We thank You for what it is that we celebrate over the Christmas season, the birth of our Savior. Help us to draw joy as a result of Christ's birth. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.